Chicago Sports Station, WSCR, HD Chicago, WJMK, HD2 Chicago.
The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
A pleasant good evening to you. A holiday weekend that's about to get underway. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Zach Zaidman, pleased to be joined by, I guess I can call you now, my veteran co-host.
I think I got to have a year underneath my belt. Are we going to go by games or weeks? How many weeks is this? I'll go with veteran. We'll go with that. You go ahead and introduce our guest now.
Yeah, he's a newcomer, and yes, it's always fun when we get a new guy coming on the show for the first time. They've got that bright-eyed smile from ear to ear. You know, they don't know what's coming. But when they find out, then they kind of back away, go to the door, look to get out. But Patrick Manley is here, the veteran long snapper. No one in the history of the 94 years of the Chicago Bears organization has played more games in a Bears uniform than the guy sitting to my right. The guy sitting to my left is a relative newcomer and a guy that's being counted on to get some big plays and big moments, talking about the linebacker Kasim Green, fourth-round pick out of Rutgers. You probably did not expect at any point this season to be thrust into meaningful games and meaningful moments, but that's the NFL for you, right?
Yeah, I think I'm learning that it's the NFL. I definitely didn't expect it, but, you know, I guess it comes with the business, so.
Coming into a room as a linebacker with fellow rookie John Bostic, that's got to make it a little bit easier. You know, other rookies have their when they're in rooms by themselves. How much have you guys relied on each other, being your first year playing here in the NFL, of getting through times where are a little different than back in college?
Right. So yeah, man, we definitely rely on each other a lot. You know, Boss is a guy who I can go to and comfortably talk to him about anything. You know, practice, life. Things going on in life off the field, and it just makes me feel more comfortable when I'm on the field and he's directing the defense and he's telling me something or I'm telling him something and you know, reminding him of some or alignment of those things. So I think the relationship we build off the field helps us a lot on the field.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you guys got a great room of veterans like Lance Briggs that obviously is telling you things, but Zach, being in a room with another rookie and being able to go through a season like this and being able to kind of talk about things that maybe they wouldn't talk about normally around some veterans, I think makes it a lot easier for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Because you're not afraid to express frustration or a lack of understanding when it comes to something. You can, I don't understand quite what's going on here. Maybe he knows or vice versa. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing. And you don't – I think having that sense of confidence – it is a big deal because you didn't have that. You didn't have another long snapper that
No, but I did. I had great I had Jeff Jaeger was the kicker here, and I think he was in his 13th year, and I relied heavily on him my rookie year. And just everything every little question I had, I'd go to him, and he'd give me advice.
When Robbie Gould, who, as we sit here today, is the second most accurate kicker in the history of the National Football League, and think about that from, you know, the first day that you met him, I think you guys played Cleveland. His first game ever back in 2005 after he won this kicking competition where a lot of different guys tried out. You were probably there to watch.
Well, I think we had five guys maybe, and I had to snap to all of them. And Robbie was obviously the best one. You know, we had some old guys. We had some guys that were in the middle of their careers coming off injuries, guys that were going through rough patches, and then Robbie who was – the young leg, and you could just tell there was a difference in his leg.
But he was also different than most people because there's a sense of, I don't want to call it cockiness or arrogance. I just think it's a supreme sense of confidence in his ability.
Yes, there is. And quick story was, I think when he first got here, he's walking around the building, you know, Hi, I'm Robbie Gould, shaking his hand, everybody. And I think he went up to Olin Krutz, and Olin's like, I don't care who you are. Just make your field goals, and then I'll talk to you.
He missed his first, right?
I believe he did, yeah.
And it's been very rare to see him miss ever since.
Yeah, he's been guy's unreal. I knock on wood, but he's Mr. Consistency.
And the reason I bring that up, Kasim, is because I think, and I've obviously never played, but it seems to me when you talk to guys who have made it in the league and have had a ton of success in the NFL, it's a sense of confidence. You have to have that first, that belief that you can perform at the highest level.
Right.
And the reason I bring that up is Kasim, when he was drafted, he has this rare ability that is needed in the Bears defense. A lot of people might not know this, but when you played at Rutgers, I believe at the time that you left school, you had the most forced fumbles out of anyone in the history of major college football, 15 at Rutgers.
Yep.
So you're the Charles Tillman of the collegiate level.
I wouldn't say that, but
like he said, you got to have the confidence and bring it to this level.
Right. I definitely agree with you with everything you're saying about confidence. And it was definitely an honor to be, you know, put in that category as Peanut on a collegiate level. And it's, you know, it's something that it can carry you over. If you're confident, you go into the game weeks, your teammates get confidence in you, then everybody is on the same page.
Are you one of these guys, when you were a kid, did you kind of try to follow the history of the NFL, or were you kind of zoned in on just playing, having fun, that kind of thing?
No, when I was young, I always wanted to be the best. I mean, obviously, I watched, you know, the NFL and had a favorite team and favorite players. I didn't know much of the history, but I knew enough. But I always just wanted to be the best when I was out there.
Well, you're from Jersey, correct?
Yes, sir.
So who is your favorite team? Giants, Jets?
No.
Are you out?
My favorite team is Pittsburgh.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, and Steelers. Then who was the guys you watched when you were young?
When I was young, I just Jerome Bettis was a guy who I loved. I played running back. Yeah, I thought I was Jerome Bettis because I was kind of big. I remember watching Randy Moss. He was also somebody who I really liked. I wasn't really in the defense for some reason. I thought I was going to be a running back.
So does everyone.
I think we all wanted the ball. You just want the ball as a kid. You want to score points.
You're either a running back, a quarterback, and then if you can't play either of those two positions, you have to play something else, and that's when you become a defensive player.
I think it was until high school when I started to get into defensive guys and, you know, the U. That was my favorite college team. So, you know, Ray Lewis, Sean Taylor, you know, those guys. I can name the DJ. You know, I can name those guys for days. And that's when I really converted to the whole defensive-minded type player.
But you weren't a linebacker immediately in college.
Nope.
You were a safety.
I was a safety.
And then you kind of got even bigger.
Right.
So you've just kept growing. Yeah. You know, before he's done his
don't keep growing.
Yeah. No, I'm done. I'm done. Oh, yeah, I'm done.
We don't want your hand on the ground.
Yeah, right, next thing you know, he'll be
Keith Traylor, like Keith Traylor.
Yeah.
Little Keith Traylor, defensive tackle we had here. He went to Denver as a linebacker. He ended up in the league as about a 320-pound defensive tackle.
Wow.
Played next to Ted Washington. Yeah. It actually looks small. I don't know if you remember Ted, who was like 912 pounds. I'm just eyeballing it. Yeah. Crazy stuff. All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, there's a lot to discuss, including some of the serious issues that are taking place defensively. It's been a rough go of it for the Bears over the last few games. Some may say it's injuries. Others may say it's scheme. Some may say it's because you got new players in new positions. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is no one's stopping the games until you guys get it right, but you have to get it right if you want to go forward. So we'll discuss how that's going to happen next with our guest, Kasim Green. I'm Zach Sabin. Patrick Mandley is along. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center in Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz are your chances to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall alongside Patrick Mandley. I'm Zach Zaidman. Our guest, first time ever visiting the Bears All Access show, it's rookie linebacker Kasim Green. And I guess it's as good of a guest as you can have considering the biggest issue of the week. And you can't escape it. If you read the papers, if you look at stuff on the internet, if you listen to the radio, if you watch television.
If you're in our locker room.
Right.
We all know.
If you're in a meeting room, why can't the Bears stop the run?
You got the guy right here to ask. I'd like to know myself. I mean, there's a million different things that you can say as a coach or a player, but Kasim can probably put his finger on it better than anything else. He's in the room with the coaches and everything, so I'd like to hear it as well.
Yeah, you know, I really think it's more or less guys, you know, like me, myself. I'm a rookie. You couldn't have told me in a million years I'd be out there right now. But I'm out there, and I have to be accountable to my teammates. And I think that's the one thing that's been going on is there's a standard here set by the guys who've played before us and current guys like Lance Briggs, who we stop the run. We're tough. We're going to get turnovers. We're going to do those things. And a lot of us young guys are trying to, on the fly, adapt to that, to those concepts and apply them to the game. And then it's just, you know, I've heard scheme. I would no, it's not the scheme. You know, the scheme is it is what it is. It's been this for years,
and it's worked.
And it's worked exactly. So it's just more or less of like we was talking about earlier, guys developing confidence, knowing that they can go out there and do it. And when I say guys, I mean younger guys, including myself. And just knowing that we can be the Lance Briggs and the Julius Peppers of the future, but right now we need to do it now.
Yeah, and I think what people don't understand is even the veteran of the linebacking unit right now, in terms of the guys that are able to play and are active and healthy, you know, James Anderson is also learning the defense. He's a guy that's been around for a while in the league, but he hasn't been around playing this specific defense, and he's got the added pressure of making sure that you guys are lined up correctly,
right.
But he's thinking about that too.
Right.
And you're thinking about that, and I think what's happened here, Pat, you've been around a long time. This reminds me of 2009.
Yeah.
When Brian Urlacher was hurt on opening day, Tommy Harris, who was a guy in the middle that was a big part of plugging the run, he went down with an injury, and teams were able to gash the Bears. And what people don't understand is it's a single-gap defense, meaning you have to have gap integrity. You have to be in the right spot. And if you're not, that leads to a big play. And you get a few of those, and that leads to big scores, and the Bears ran into that a week ago.
But how much is it that, you know, like playing with somebody, you know what I mean? Like it is a gap scheme, and if you are off on your gap just a little bit of understanding if he's off, I can help here and there. Right. You guys, is that an issue that's taking place?
You know, just touch base on that. It's one and the same. You know, guys can make each other – you know, make you each other correct if you know and understand what the next man is doing in the defense and what their job assignment is. I think another thing is too is accountability. We're supposed to know exactly where we're supposed to be and we're supposed to get there. That's just we getting paid, and that's just something that we hold each other accountable to. So it's more or less not trying to do too many things. And I might say I'm guilty of that too. Is trying to make plays. It's just doing exactly what you're supposed to do, and then trusting that the guy next to you will do the same thing.
And I think it's also understanding that you can't always overcompensate to try and help somebody else. And
right.
I think there's a lot of that going on the Bears defense.
We've had Lance Briggs talked about it. As simple as do your job.
Right.
And he's simplifying it, I think, defensively that. The cover two scheme, if everybody does their job, it works. It's not one guy, you know, you got to have 11 guys doing their exact job.
And a lot of people think that's just player speak or coach speak, but I'm telling you, I'm down there on the sidelines. Mel Tucker will grab a headset like the one I'm wearing right now, grab the microphone, and he will yell into that microphone, do your job. That's what he's telling you guys on game day. And Briggs said something, because over the years I've talked to him when injuries have taken place and, you know, similar issues like this have popped up. He said, on Sunday, it doesn't matter what happens in practice. On Sunday, if you're supposed to be, just an example, if you're supposed to be in the A-gap, you have to be in the A-gap.
Right.
And there's no excuse, a guy's trying to push you out of that gap. You got to find a way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's professional football.
Yes, sir. That, I mean, it's exactly correct.
So you're finding that what's the difficult part then to get to the gap? You know what I mean? That's getting to the gap. You got to get to the gap. But if you can't get there, what's causing that? Is it technique? Is it not knowing a certain stun, a guy missing a stun and being in the wrong gap?
Well, I think it's, you know, sometimes it's not knowing, sometimes it's overthinking. That was what's happening to me in the beginning was I would overthink too much. So I would think out every single scenario instead of just seeing and trusting my keys and my eyes and then going where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, I got a big compliment from Lance this week about a couple of plays that I made in the game. And it was like, me realizing that I'm actually getting it and understanding it, and to have him compliment me on it was pretty big. So I think it's more or less just, you know, going out there and not thinking so much, just playing freely and playing fast.
Experience.
Yep.
Like just getting reps and like you said, trusting your keys and just letting your instincts take over. There's a reason why you were a draft pick by the Bears. And you forced 15 career forced fumbles in college.
It's pretty impressive.
Exactly.
I'll bet in college, though, by the time you were a senior, understanding that the defense that you played in Rutgers, you knew how teams would attack you based on any given situation. I think that's also a big problem that the Bears have right now, because you have so many guys in different spots. You, John Bostic, James Anderson. You've got Corey Wooten has to slide over from defensive end to three technique. Landon Cohen, who didn't spend the offseason here, so he's been catching himself up to speed on everything happening during the regular season. David Bass was picked up right before the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to you know, Zach Bowman was not a guy who was expected to get starters minutes so far this season. So when you start to look at all of that, all of you guys are worried about your specific job responsibility, you don't even have time to think about, wait, on third down and two, they might attack us differently, because they know what kind of defense you're playing. And right. I think that just takes time. It takes experience.
Right, yeah. I think it definitely – and I mean, I'm only a rookie, so I can't really – I can't tell, but I know that I'm every game I'm getting better and doing things a lot better than what I did the week before. But, you know, guys say it around the locker room. With the experience, you get the niche of the game. You'll know what they're doing before they do it. So.
And the other thing is, you know, you named a lot of guys in different positions or out of position or new guys. The one thing we can all control is effort. Mm-hmm. And if you play with great effort,
right,
it'll help overcome some of your your problems in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
If we can start getting better at those positions, the new guys in new positions, and continue our effort getting better as well, our defense will be all right.
Right.
Sounds good, but there is a running back that the Bears are facing this week.
He's pretty good.
Man, oh, man. We'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show, but we'll lighten things up in our next segment. It's the highest-rated segment of the program. Cassine, you're going to like this.
Okay.
It's called Are You a Bears Authority? We're going to test the knowledge of a newcomer against the guy who's played for the team longer than anybody else, which, you know, on paper looks like a mismatch. That's why you play the game, right? This is Bears All Access with Patrick Manley and Kasim Green. I'm Zach Zaidman. A Thanksgiving edition of the program coming up next. Are You a Bears Authority on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Score Brake Tire Deals and get $70 to use toward Bears gear when you buy a set of eligible Bridgestone tires. Visit BridgestoneBearsPromo.com. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, our guest for the full hour, rookie linebacker Kasim Green. And it is time to have some fun. This is the highest rated segment of the program. And the reason for it, Kasim, is because it tests the challenge, the pride, the discipline, the passion that
it's
you have for football. Yeah, it's as close as we get on this show to what you guys do on the field. That's the best way I can put it. It's called Are You a Bears Authority? It's brought to you by Sports Authority. Here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit the buzzer in front of you. That's what it's going to sound like. Whoever hits the buzzer first gets to answer first. If you don't get it right, the other player gets a chance to answer the question. It's a best of seven. So whoever triumphs wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. Patrick, you're playing for Lucius Landing from Bolingbrook. And Kasim, you're playing for Trevor Maynard from Joliet. So Trevor's counting on you for that Sports Authority gift certificate. If you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page, where you can also listen to all of our shows. You guys ready for this?
Let's go.
Question number one. Every linebacker on the Bears' current 53-man roster is listed at 6'1" in height, except for one who is listed as 6'2". Who is that 6'2" linebacker? Kasim.
I'm going to say it's James Anderson.
Correct. Wow, Kasim, out of the gate.
He's a whole 1 inch taller than everybody else in
yeah,
the room.
But see, you only know that. Yeah, you only know that if you spend as much time as Kasim Green does, because he's following
that's like
the veteran.
Cover two linebacker height then, huh?
Yeah, and you could see, him. He's the underside. That's why on special teams, all these linebackers are able to come in and make an impact, right? Because
yep.
they're fast and a little bit smaller. Blake Costanzo, by the way, I would guess is the shortest. Am I right? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to eyeball it. I could be wrong.
They're all 6'1"?
Yeah, but they're not really all 6'1".
Well, they're listed as 6'1", so it must be true. It's like our weight. Our weight is all right on, exactly on the roster. Yep.
How much do you have influence in terms of what they put in the media guide?
Years of service, you have a little more input, I think.
So you determine it.
No, I think mine's been the same for the last 7 years, and I've lost weight, so I don't know. I like it because it makes me look bigger.
Do you want to avoid being 300 pounds, or do the 300-pounders say, hey, you know what, I'd like to be 299?
Talking me personally?
No, not you. I mean, because you were in the room with the linemen for
a long time. And I pushed 295, I think, my rookie year.
Wow. Yeah, you, by the way, Kasim, I'm telling you, you walk around Hallis Hall, there are a lot of pictures of legendary Bears from yesteryear, and I'm not saying he's a legend, I'm not saying he's not, but there are pictures of Patrick Manley where if you saw him from his rookie year, the same year you're in now.
You would not recognize him.
Oh, my goodness.
My daughter didn't recognize me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He did not have the intimidating, he did not have the intimidating long snapper goatee.
Oh, yeah.
He did not have the mullet. And,
no, I didn't. That was high and tight.
And he did not have the lean physique that he's got now.
I had the four double chins. And it was hefty.
We've all been there. It's there was a Cutler-esque, at least early on, effect that you had with
I was way bigger than Jay.
Yeah, but Jay, like you, I think it's the peer pressure. Everyone got lean.
It's our wives.
All right, it's a one nothing lead. Once you get married, the fat goes. Yeah. It's a 1-0 lead for Kasim Green over Patrick Manley. Question number two. It's a multiple choice question, so it would benefit you to wait for me to actually give you the choices. Bears linebackers coach Tim Tibisar played linebacker in college. What school did he go to? Boise State, Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana. Patrick.
North Dakota.
Correct. You didn't know that, Kasim, did you?
I was going to say that.
Okay, well, that's good. At least you had it. Does he talk about it?
No.
A lot of people don't know much about Tim Tibisar because he's one of the new coaches that, right. that came in. What's he like in the meeting room?
He's good. He's actually a very smart guy. He knows exactly what, you know, guys are supposed to be doing. And if he doesn't know, you know, obviously Lance has game experience. So Lance may know a thing or two more about actually seeing it on the field.
And he's
open to, you know, what Lance says and the corrections that Lance makes as well.
I will say this. The linebackers on the Bears, the ones that are active right now, you think about the schooling that takes place on game day, because you got Lance Briggs in their ear on every play. And I know he can't follow every single one of you during an actual play, but you've got DJ Williams there who does the same thing. So that's a lot of experience lean on.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It is really awesome on the sideline.
And you hope that it shrinks the learning curve that you need in order to have some success. All right, it's a 1-1 tie between Patrick Manley and Kasim Green. We go to question number three. We'll stick with defense. Besides Tim Jennings, name two players on the Bears' current 53-man roster listed at under 6 feet. Patrick.
We're going to go Eric Weems.
That's one.
And, oh, man, now I'm drawing a blank.
We're looking for another player other than Eric Weems who is shorter than 6 feet.
Yeah.
We'll give you 3 seconds. One, two, three.
Well.
Now we shift it over to Kasim Green, who has an opportunity. All you need to name is one Bear other than Eric Weems, who's short.
Michael Ford.
Correct.
Ah, that's it. Kept going through all the different rooms, and I didn't get to the running back room yet.
All right.
In my head.
One of your specialists.
Yeah. Well, we got a third one?
Well, you have four, technically.
Oh, there's four. Adam Podlash?
Adam's one. Oh. There's another one.
Robbie?
No.
Oh, another.
Devin Hester.
Oh, is he under 6 feet?
Yeah, he's listed as under 6 feet.
He's a giant.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that the speed is so blinding. Yeah, you don't pay attention to. Oh, by the way, you got it. He had a touchdown last week. Set the record.
Yeah.
It was called back. Yeah. I mean, how does that feel?
It's tough, especially when you watch. If you saw Devin's reaction, I think that's what made it tough. But I think we all kind of reacted that way inside because we want it just as bad as he does because it's kind of a reflection of us as a unit.
Right.
And I know Craig felt terrible, and it was the right call, but we got 5 more weeks to get it done, and I think we will.
At some point during this show, we are going to point out the last time Devin Hester scored. It was in Washington. I believe Kasim Green was the first person to attack Devin after the touchdown, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So that was an interesting celebration. We will get to that a little bit later on here on the show. But right now, Kasim has a 2-1 lead over Patrick here in Are You a Bears Authority? Question number four, it's a multiple-choice question. We go way back. It all comes full circle here. What year was Bears head coach Mark Trestman born in? 1975, 1964, 1959, or 1956? Patrick.
1956.
Correct. The reason we brought it up is he returns to Minnesota, which is where he's from, for the first time as an NFL head coach. That has got to be the coolest thing for him in his life. He won't mention it publicly, but you know, I mean, you guys know.
It's like any player going back to play their former team or going to play their hometown. You get a little more excited about that.
Right. The first time that Kasim Green walks into Met Bank Stadium, whatever it's called.
Man.
See?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be crazy.
Well, you know, and for you, I believe the first opportunity you would have is if the Bears get to the Super Bowl this year.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, if you can make that happen.
Ticket request would be pretty big.
Yeah.
2-2 is the score right now between Manley and Green. We go to question number five. Bears quarterback Josh McCown was signed by the Dolphins in 2008, but was traded the same year by the Dolphins to the Panthers for a 2009 draft choice. What round was that draft choice? Patrick.
I'm going to say 7.
Correct.
All right. Good guess.
Boy,
What's the streak now? How many weeks in a row do we have a Josh question?
I believe it was we've had one for a while. So it's definitely since he started playing on a regular basis.
Yes.
So at least since the Washington game, there's been a McCown question every week in some fashion, including when Josh McCown was an actual guest. And you'll be happy to know he did get the question right, Kasim.
Right.
All right, so it's a 3-2 lead. Kasim's playing catch-up here. We head to the fourth quarter of the game. Question number six. Beaverton, Oregon is the home of the Nike Corporation and also one of the Bears' tight ends. Name him. Kasim.
Dante Rosario.
Yes!
That's what I was going to go with.
You were.
Good guess. I was.
See, we don't know much about Dante Rosario, but he is a special teamer primarily.
Yeah,
so
he is. Yeah.
So you know. Do you realize we now have you got the longest tenured Bear in history. You've got one of the shortest tenured Bears in history in Kasim Green, and yet you guys are all tied at three. And
right.
We head to the magical question
seven.
Here's what's at stake. If Patrick gets it right, Lucius Landing from Bolingbrook wins a Sports Authority gift certificate. If Kasim gets it right, Trevor Maynard from Joliet will be the biggest Kasim Green fan on the planet. Question number seven, special teams. What Big Ten school did Sherrick McManus play as? Patrick.
Northwestern.
Correct. And Patrick wins the game 4-3, but a valiant effort by Kasim Green.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a very competitive contest, and congratulations to Lucius Landing from Bolingbrook on winning a Sports Authority gift certificate courtesy of Patrick Manley. We have to take a timeout when we come back. Let's get back to the guy that you guys have to stop, the number one person that you're circling when you're watching game film this week. He wears number 28 in purple. That's next with Kasim Green and Patrick Manley on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Enjoy a free Reds Tavern Double with purchase for the Bears going to take away this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Damon. Kasim Green is our guest, the rookie linebacker. And I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to go straight to paragraph number two of the Vikings news release for this upcoming game against the Bears. And you know what it's going to be about. Quote, in 11 career games against the Bears, running back Adrian Peterson averages 107.7 rushing yards per game, the most of any player all time against Chicago. In those 11 games, Peterson has rushed for over 120 yards four times, including a 224-yard effort in his rookie season. There's more. They call it Norseman Notables. Running back Adrian Peterson has 9,846 rushing yards, the third most in NFL history after a player's first 100 games. He passed Barry Sanders and only trails Eric Dickerson and Jim Brown. This guy is good.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Right. I think you can make a case that when he is all said and done. Now, you got Walter Payton in Chicago. Many people believe he's the best of all time. Others will tell you Jim Brown. Some will say Barry Sanders because of all the fancy moves. You might be saying Adrian Peterson when he's done. And I know when you were in college, when you were growing up, you were probably watching this guy. You were a running back, and you were probably thinking, man, this guy, he's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Now you got to stop him.
Tough task, but this is what I, you know, and I'm just speaking for myself. These are the type of challenges that I look forward to. You know, there's always the story about the giant and then, you know, the little guy with the slingshot that comes along
and
takes, you know, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm pretty excited for this weekend.
But when you get drafted to a team in the NFL, any division, I think if you're a linebacker, you look to see who the running backs are.
Right.
Who do I get to play twice a year? And that's one of them.
Oh, yeah, that was the first thing I did.
As tough as a task as it is, it's a dream come true.
Right.
You want to play against the best. That's why you're here.
Now, teams have slowed him down. Not many, but there are ways to – teams have beaten the Vikings. So, clearly, there is a roadmap to success against this team. You guys did it in week two. What is the key to slowing him down? It's kind of like Michael Jordan. You're never going to totally shut him down, but you can contain some of the damage. As a defense, you often hear the term gang tackling.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a village to kind of make sure you prevent him from getting those big yards.
Oh, yeah.
How do you do it?
Well, the one thing we got to do is be fundamentally sound. This is a guy who can see the smallest hole or smallest crease and hit it, and you know, next thing you know, he's running for 70 yards. And that's one of the things that we definitely have to do is be disciplined in our gaps, and when we get the opportunity to definitely gang tackle him. He's not a guy who goes down on the first when the first guy tackles him. He's a strong guy, so we want to be able to definitely hold our gaps and give him a flat wall so that he doesn't have anything to run through, and then also gang tackle.
On special teams, we call it a population tackle.
Population.
So you get population to the ball. So yep. I'm looking forward to on Sunday seeing a big mound of white jerseys all over them, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's what we need.
It takes a you want a dense population, and I'm not talking I'm talking about like a New York City, Chicago like populace where yes. you got a whole bunch of different people coming at him. But here's the thing that, on the outside looking at it, you're not allowed to tackle in practice because of the CBA rules that you have. So how do you prepare for someone like this? And you heard Kasim say, I mean, it's almost impossible for one guy to bring him down. How do you prepare for that?
You know what? You put yourself in position in practice. You want to have pad level, you know, and you want to show the coach that you're in a position where if you have to tackle somebody, at least you're giving yourself a fair chance and an equal chance by, you know, lowering your center of gravity and being able to bring your hips through and tackle. Also, what I will say is, we have a guy named Major Wright who does a pretty good job open field tackling. And I saw him in the first game tackle Adrian Peterson a couple of times by himself. And I was like, that guy is special. I'm going to do exactly what he does if I get the opportunity to play against a running back like Adrian Peterson. And here it is. We get a chance.
The answer is, I think, brilliant, because it is. It's about practice, getting in position. We've all tackled from Little League and on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are some better tacklers than others. But what makes you a good tackler is being in the position, like you said, the pad level or the angle or the fit up on the run. And that's what practice is for. That's what is different now with we wear just helmets and shells. And that's the difference now between 7-8 years ago.
But you hear, and for people that haven't experienced it, I think it's tough to understand, open field tackling. That's like, and I compare it to someone who plays center field in baseball, the ball that's coming right at you where you can't really judge the angle. It's the toughest catch to make. It's similar in trying to make a tackle that way. Do you benefit because in your experience playing this game, you've played safety, so you've had to deal with it?
I think I can put myself in a pretty good position, and you definitely benefit. But it's again, it's all falling back to fundamentals and techniques. And like Pat was saying, you got to put yourself in a position where you can make a tackle, or if not, you'll be in trouble.
It's going to be a good test.
Yeah.
It's going to be a real good test. He's you know, each team, he's one of those guys in the NFL that you look forward to playing against. Like we were talking about, like, and you're going to give greater effort, I think, against a guy like that. Like when people play against us on special teams and they got to go against Devin, mm-hmm. we see their best. And that's what I expect for us on Sunday. We need to play our best and give our best effort.
What's it like? Is it demoralizing right now? Throughout the week, because the last few games running backs have had big days against you, and it doesn't matter if they're Adrian Peterson or even a Benny Cunningham from St. Louis. It seems as though no matter who it is, there have been issues. When you look going forward at this game in particular, because you're talking about maybe the best of all time, what's it like in the meeting room? What's being said? Are the veterans talking? Is it just the coaching staff? Are you guys just listening? When you're out on the practice field, is there a different mindset that you take to the field compared to, say, a week ago?
No. You know, you prepare. I think you prepare the same way. You don't want to, you know, get too out of whack with, you know, facing a guy like Adrian Peterson. We all know who he is and what he's capable of doing. You just want to, like, you want to just train yourself and try not to do things differently than what you did in the previous games, or, you know, previous times while you're tackling, because it might work against you as opposed to working for you.
We have to take a time out. When we come back, there are a lot of different things I want to discuss with Kasim. You know, he played for Greg Schiano, who's been in the news, mm-hmm. you know, and Schiano tried to help you guys out last week because the Bucks beat the Lions.
And they did.
Yeah, so, and you played with Eric LeGrand, right?
Right.
Which is a great story. Yes. So we will discuss that next with our guest for the hour, Kasim Green, on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's that time of year again. Get your Chicago Tribune Thanksgiving Day edition stuffed with thousands of dollars in holiday savings. Available from retailers all across Chicagoland or wherever newspapers are sold. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Saveman, rookie linebacker Kasim Green, our guest. Want to thank some of the special people who make this the program that it is, including our executive producer, Greg Miller. We've got Paul Zarang helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. And in our downtown studios, Brendan McCaffrey making sure that there's no chaos on the radio program. Also, the Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuff Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. Before I get to something really cool that happened in Washington earlier this season, what do you do, Kasim, for Thanksgiving?
I have some family coming in.
Okay, so that's cool.
Into the city, so I'll be with them. And I also have some friends. Kyle invited me to his house. His family is in town, which was pretty nice of him. He invited all the rookies. So
nice.
I mean, guys opened their doors. Coaches, everybody opened their doors. So it's I've got a lot of options.
That's good. There's going to be a lot of food.
We've got a good team. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't have a place to go. Everybody's opened their doors. I know Robbie's got Blake Costanzo coming over. Mm-hmm. In today's meeting, Coach Trestman said, hey, if anybody – wants a place to eat, I've got a place at my table. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anybody looking for a place to eat. We've got a great team that's really enjoys each other, and I think it was not a problem finding single guys or young guys that don't have families to do anything.
Boy, I wonder which player is going to take up the Trestman offer. Because, I mean, think about it. That's like going to Thanksgiving dinner with your boss. You know? I mean, that's
– Do you bring booze?
I don't know. I mean, it seems to me he'd be more of a wine drinker if he goes in that direction.
Wine,
you go a little classy. Yeah. But there's so, you know, the Trestman family, it's, you better bring a lot of material because he can talk on several different levels about anything.
I got a funny story real quick. My rookie year, we had a punter named Mike Horan, who was 40 years old, who Todd Sauerbrunn got hurt.
Right.
He didn't have a place to go, so he had to come to my house as a rookie. So my wife and I, we cooked for him, and that was pretty, it was 20. Two, I guess, and he's 40, and it was just a
weird dynamic.
It was very weird. It was different. Man, a little rented house I had.
So I would love to mic up the Trestman household on Thanksgiving Day with the people that I'm sure other coaches are going to visit him.
I would imagine maybe, yeah.
You know, and then I would love to see what Robbie Gould and Blake Costanzo talk about in their little get-together. And then there are others. And speaking of mic'd up, by the way, Devin Hester was mic'd up last week against the Rams. So he had a touchdown. It was called back because of the Craig Stelz. Now, you saw the video. Mm-hmm. Was it a true penalty?
It was. The rule is now for referees, if they see a defender go to the ground on special teams, they're most likely going to throw a flag. And what I mean by that is Craig still had his hands on, like, the inside of his shoulder pads, and the guy spun out at the line trying to release, and Craig fell down with him. So that's
as soon as you fall down, boom.
It's a holding call, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you can watch Devin Hester mic'd up for that game against the Rams on ChicagoBears.com. And Kasim, you know, in your brief time with the Bears, mm-hmm. Devin Hester wears his emotions on his sleeve. You know if he's feeling good or if he's not so happy. And you could tell right away, he saw it as a golden opportunity squandered, and he just came back to the bench, and he was demoralized because it takes a lot out of you first to have the run back, but to know that you came so close to setting the record.
It was pretty emotional. I mean, I got emotional for him. I was on the sideline dancing myself when he scored, and when it got called back, I could feel his pain.
He said he saw the yellow hanky on the field and ran by it, and he knew. He said he was kind of 50-50, is it on us? He figured it was on us, but it stinks. You know, it's just something that you want to be part of. You know, I've been fortunate to play here for a long time, and that's a record I want to say I got to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does do some special stuff on prime time over the years.
Yeah, he does.
There's a Monday night game coming up at home. It's the next
home
game.
Well, the Vikings, he has a pretty good history, too.
The Vikings, he scored more touchdowns against Minnesota than any other team.
We miss Chris Cluey. I think Chris Cluey, he was Chris Cluey's nightmare, the punter for the Vikings.
Yes, that's true, because he was a guy who relied on leg strength, and he wasn't a directional punter.
No.
Couldn't get the ball to where it needed to go. And Devin, by the way, 9 touchdowns in his career against the Vikings.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, some of them as a kick return man, punt return man, and a wide receiver.
That's like a career for most returners.
Right?
They're lucky to be a career.
I mean, that's crazy stuff. All right, so when Devin tied Deion Sanders' record in Washington, the first player to jump on him, and you said you were dancing the other day.
Yeah.
Man, you were that was a weird dance that you had. It looked like you were trying to tackle Devin.
No, I just to clear the ways, I jumped. I signaled to him that we were going to jump in a chest bump, and I kind of was overly excited. So I jumped a little bit too high. And I didn't want to hurt him coming down, and I didn't want to hurt myself. So I kind of grabbed him, and we awkwardly fell to the ground. It was
wasn't what you were envisioning.
Not at all. Not at all.
You ever notice the weirdest celebrations take place on special teams? Who was the guy? Was it Bill Gramatica in Arizona?
Oh, yeah, that jumped up and kicked a 43-yard field goal.
Right.
Jumped up in the air, came down, and tore his ACL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got a quick – so what? When you get your pick six or your fumble six – do you have a touchdown dance plan?
I don't. My emotions get raging, so I don't know.
Well, we need to see one soon.
Yeah.
How about that?
Did you score in college?
I scored in college, yes, sir.
Do you remember what you did when you got into the end zone?
No, I just put my hands up and ran to the sideline. We had a thing in college, so it wasn't.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
It's a Greg Schiano thing, and we're going to find out a little bit about this guy because few know him better, at least on the Bears, than a guy who played for him for most of his college career, talking about Kasim Green. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak, the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of them, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Sabin. Kasim Green, our guest. That would be Kasim Green out of Rutgers. And for most of your time there, at least your first three seasons, I believe, your head coach was a coach who's now in the NFL by the name of Greg Schiano. He's down in Tampa Bay. From what we read, and again, we don't know the situation because we're looking at it from afar. You're different. You kind of know him better than most.
Right.
This seems like a guy that you don't want to play for.
He can come off as that way.
Set him up with a
he can come off that way.
I didn't ask to do that to him.
No, I'm going to speak honestly. You know, every guy had a different experience with him. Mine actually happened to be pretty good. We had a relationship where we could, like, go back and forth with one another on the field and off the field. But at the end of the day, we came to a common agreement, and he told me a lot of things. So I think you can go either way with it, depending on the guy.
You know, he's a former Bear coach as well.
Yeah.
He was my rookie year, he was the defensive backs coach, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so he's got another connection with him.
He had a lot of NFL experience, then went to the college game, and he's a Jersey guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he was able to take Rutgers to that next level.
Right.
And the reason that I think there's a lot of respect for him in terms of when he was hired is because Bill Belichick has great respect for Greg Schiano. And you see the Patriots have consistently drafted many of his players.
Right.
A lot of your former teammates are there. So what is it about him that helps him get the most out of many players?
I think the thing about Coach Schiano was he wanted to raise you to be a man. You know, you come in as – that was his thing. You come in as a young man or a boy, and you would leave the program as a man. And it was deeper than football. It was academics, life skills. I mean, he did some great things up there. And just taking over the program his first year, I think those guys may have – I don't even think they won a game. They were horrible when he first took over. And then to build it to what it was when he left, I mean, it says a lot about him.
What I find interesting is that until the methods are proven to win you games, people always doubt.
Right.
You know, and it goes for Mark Trestman when he took over with the Bears. Same thing with Schiano in Tampa Bay. I think you have to believe that everything you're putting in is eventually going to lead to success.
Oh, yeah.
And it did work. So for you, it's a no-brainer. If someone came to you and asked you about Schiano, you would be able to tell them what?
That he's a great guy, and I love him as a coach. I know his wife, I know his kids, and they're all great people. I've been at his house. He offered us everything. We had cookouts there, so I know Coach Schiano decided that, you know, maybe not everybody knows of him, and I know exactly what his heart intends.
My deal is, if I was talking to Kasim earlier, that he had to recruit athletes to go there, so he has something he brings to the table. You know what I mean? He's not like a bad dictator, so he obviously was able to go to kids' homes and –
Right.
Sell Rutgers, sell himself, more importantly, is what guys kind of buy in on sometimes when going to colleges. So he's obviously, like you said, he means something to people.
And he listens, right? Because you said you guys came to a common ground, so he obviously listened to what you had to say.
Right. He definitely listened. If you had some, I mean, Steve Beharnes was the guy. Steve knew our defense inside and out. And if there was something that Steve recommended, more than likely it would be in the game plan or it would be something that Coach Shiano thought about. And even with me, if there was something that I thought worked particularly well and he may have not seen it or didn't understand what I was coming for, he would look at it and then it would be in the game plan. He's a very reasonable guy, and it takes getting to know him and to know him outside of football to understand why he is.
And in the final minute of the show here, and this being Thanksgiving and all, I think it's worth noting, I love what he's been doing with Eric LeGrand, the Rutgers star who was paralyzed on special teams, bringing him down. He drafted him with Tampa Bay, a ceremonial thing. Mm-hmm. You know this guy better than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Eric is one of my best friends and closest friends, so much so that we were roommates. And he was probably one of the only guys that could call me a girl. I remember after he got hurt, true story, after he got hurt, I didn't want to play. The next game, I really didn't want to play. I was kind of like, I didn't want to tackle, and I missed a bunch of tackles. Yeah. I was like throwing my body, and he called and told me out of his mouth, "Yo, stop tackling like a girl." And then I went to visit him the next day, and he said it again. He was like, "Man, that wasn't you out there. You know, it's time for you to just let this go. And, you know, this guy's work is going to be all right." And just for him to be in that situation, you know, in the hospital with tubes in him and all those type of things, made me realize how special he was and the bond that we had developed.
That's pretty cool. What a great way to end the show, right? Yeah, that uplifting story. Kasim, thank you so much. It's been a fun hour. Good luck against Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, thanks.
Because you're
going
to need to tackle like a man, right? For Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaman. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck on Sunday against the Vikings. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.